He went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began teaching the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this, which is given unto him, and even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" They admitted it. And then they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? The carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. I don't know what the Catholics are going to do with that verse. I don't think they have it in the Vulgate. Amen. Because according to the Catholics, Mary didn't have any more kids. St. Anne was supernaturally caught up eventually. That's supposed to be Mary's mother. Amen. They got a temple in Jerusalem dedicated to St. Anne. All it's good for is acoustics. Your voice rings real well in it. It's a good place to sing. It is no secret what God can do. Amen. So I did. And every Filipino and Korean and Japanese and foreigner in that place joined in, because they all knew it is no secret what God can do. Amen. But Jesus had some brothers. I like to talk about a chapter in the ministry and life of Jesus and the apostles, and parenthesis, John the Baptist. Amen. Amen. In verse 1, he's back at Nazareth. In verse 7, he sends the 12 out on the first commission. In verse 14, John is haunting Herod, and it gives us the parenthetical explanation of John's death. In other words, it didn't happen in that chapter, but they explain what happened before that. And so in this chapter, parenthetically, we get an explanation of how John the Baptist was killed. And verse 30, the 12 return tired. And Jesus says, "Come aside and rest a little while." In verse 32, while he was trying to rest and couldn't, they had to feed 5,000 men besides the women and the children, and the miracle of the loaves and fishes was performed. In verse 45, Jesus sends them across the Sea of Galilee, and they get into a storm, and in the morning watch, Jesus comes walking on the water, and Jesus walks on the water. And then after they get across, Jesus preaches to the people of Gennesaret, and many people beg him just to be able to touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched the hem of his garment were made whole. Amen. Glory to God. There wasn't any failures in the ministry of Jesus, were there? However, there were some partial healings at first because of the faith of the people that he ministered to. Amen. Jesus comes to Nazareth and he preaches there and gives them a second chance. Jesus wanted, like Paul wanted, to win them to God that were of his flesh. And so Jesus, having failed the first time to fellas, don't worry if you don't go over, it may not be your fault. Don't worry if you don't have a landslide revival, it may not be your fault. Jesus didn't have one either time at Nazareth. Amen. I mean, the first time they took him to the brow of the hill and threatened to throw him over. And this is a second trip back. Now, think of it. Nazareth could have had as great a miracle as the wedding at Cana. He could have begun his ministry there. Fresh out of the wilderness, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Devils conquered. Praise God. And hallelujah. He has power and dominion. And he reads it right out of the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. To heal the brokenhearted. And to set the captives free. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And said, he gladly pronounced, today the scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. And they looked at him and batted their eyes like frogs in a hailstorm. Amen. They didn't accept it. He didn't get over. Amen. And said, who does he think he is? This upstart. We know him all his life. We've known him. Amen. And so Jesus had to leave Nazareth. He gave them the slip or they'd have thrown him over the bluff. I mean, right then and there, they'd have thrown him over the cliff. We go there, drive right up the hill, in fact, and look over there to the cliff. And the guide always points out that's where they led Jesus to the brow of the hill and was going to throw him over. Amen. Well, now in the sixth chapter of this fast-moving book, St. Mark, and I'll move fast too, praise God, he gives them another chance. Hallelujah. And you know what? Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, few minor ailments, and healed them. And he marveled. There's sometimes Jesus marvels at people's faith. This time he marveled at Nazareth's unbelief. He marveled because their unbelief, and went around about the village's teaching, praise God. He called the 12 and sent them forth and gave them power over unclean spirits and command them to take nothing for their journey. Amen. You're just going to have a short time to do it, boys, and travel light and go fast. And so that's what they did. I think if there's one thing the sixth chapter of Mark teaches us, we just got a short time, folks. We better travel light and go fast. Amen. I mean, he sent them out two by two. I mean, they had to leave their wives and their kids at home and go preach the gospel. Huh? Amen. Why couldn't they take their wives and kids with them? Because it's too hard on them. Amen. It's hard enough on the one. Traveling by himself, sleeping on the ground, not knowing where he's going to eat, not knowing where he's going to sleep. And it's even harder to find a place to stay if you've got six kids with you. Amen. And so they went out two by two. They left their wives at home. Amen. To preach the gospel. Brother Sheffy lived such a hard life. Amen. He prayed in the woods. He carried a sheepskin with him all across the country. Rode a horse. Amen. And left his wife and little boy at the house to preach the gospel. Amen. All the apostles knew what it was to do that. And sooner or later we'll find out what it means to do that. When Sister Carl and I had been together for a few years and hadn't been apart. And we were blessed that we could go everywhere together, go to camp meetings together, take the kids. And the kids would go right up in the camp meetings, right up in revivals, right up in the churches where we preached. Amen. And I pastored a few little churches across the country. Amen. And this was the fourth one that Sister Collins had helped me pastor up here in Middletown. Then it happened. The kids had grown up and had to stay and go to school. We didn't know anything about homeschooling or anything. And here they are in school. I've resigned my church and going into all the world and preach the gospel. I've got to leave my wife and kids at home and go out and preach the gospel. Come Sunday afternoon, I had a revival scheduled in Norman, Oklahoma with Brother Havis Crawford. Amen. I'm getting ready to drive out yonder to preach the gospel. Amen. And we hold up till the last minute, kids out playing, and we broke down and cried. I was really holding up good. It cried a little bit. Sister Collins cried a little bit. But when I got in the car and started up Elk Creek Road, amen, I cried so much I couldn't see the road hardly. Amen. But I was like the cows that was bringing home the ark on a new cart. Amen. They said to tie the oxen to the cart and leave the calves at home and see what they do. Amen. And those old cattle headed out, amen, right toward Israel. Praise God. Lowing as they went, looking back, bawling for them calves, but they had to go. Those old oxen had one time to do it. One chance to answer the call of God. One chance at destiny. Amen. And that's what we've got. We got one chance at destiny. Amen. I cried till I couldn't see the road. And it was on that occasion that I began to write and spent the whole summer writing a song. I'm going to pray if I pray by myself. I'm going to stand if I have to stand alone. Not that they wouldn't have been with me if they could have. I had to go anyway. Amen. And the disciples had to go anyway. Hey, you just got a short time to do what you're going to do. Amen. You know what the Bible said? Let those that have wives be as though they had none. When it comes to doing the work of God, you can't hold up the work of God, amen, for sweet Nancy. Amen. You got to go on. Praise God. What was it? Amen. That brother called his wife that just died and they buried him last Saturday. Amen. I can't remember what he called her. Amen. But anyway, hey, he's gone now. It's over. The old preacher that preached our homecoming twice, they buried him in Licking, Missouri. We just got a little while to get the job done for the glory of God. They came back all tired out. Amen. And Jesus said, come aside and rest a little while. Amen. Well, amen. They found out that they couldn't rest. Amen. Hallelujah. And Herod hears about it. And Herod decides that John the Baptist has rose from the dead. Amen. And he's come back to haunt him. And then the whole story comes out of John the Baptist. How that John preached many times to Herod. In fact, he sent for him and laid hold on him and bound him in prison for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife's sake. For he had married her. And John had pointed his finger on Herod's face and said, she's not only your brother's wife, she's your niece. And it's unlawful for you to have her. Amen. And when Herodias' daughter, that's Herod's stepdaughter, amen, danced before him, it pleased him well. And he said, I'll give you anything you want. And Herodias said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Amen. And so she said, I'd like to bring the head of John the Baptist to me on a charger. That's a platter. Amen. That's another bowl. When they used to behead them, the Catholic Church used to behead the Christians and the Protestants in Scotland. Amen. They would, when the guillotine cut off their head, they would drop their head in what they call the nether bowl. That's the platter they held under their head. Amen. And they brought John the Baptist's head to Herod on a platter, and it grieved him. Amen. But, oh well, amen. It's hard to understand how such a great man comes to such an infamous end when there's a revival going on all around him. Now that may be hard for you to fathom someday, when one ministry ends and another has already overlapped it and already taken over. Amen. Now most of the deliverance preachers were not willing to admit that their great revival was over, and so they manufactured some more gimmicks. They'd have been better off if they'd just admitted it and say, my day has come, my son has arose. Amen. I must decrease, but they must increase. Amen. And if Oral Roberts had done that, he wouldn't have had to say, if somebody don't give me $3 million, I'm going home to heaven. That is the most stupid thing that I ever heard a deliverance preacher do. Well, the owner of a dog race track, greyhound race track in West Memphis, Arkansas, amen, did it just for the publicity. Amen. He gave his money. It'd be better to die gracefully. It'd be better to fade out like Smith Wigglesworth and a few more and die gracefully and admit, praise God, it's time for another ministry to come in and take over. Amen. Well, right in the middle of a great revival, John the Baptist gets his head cut off. If God's able to do miracles for others, why can't he deliver John? Why can't John be one of them that he sends out? Because his time's up. His day's done. Amen. Amen. Jesus thought a lot of his cousin. Amen. John thought a lot of Jesus. But after Herod kills John, and when his disciples heard of it, they came. That's John's disciple. He still had some followers. They came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And one ministry's over, and another is going full blast. You can't take that. Amen. You don't have any choice. You can't hack that. You don't have any choice. Here you got a lot of whys. Why God this? Why God that? And why something else? I just don't understand. Hey, you ain't got no choice. And it's no excuse for failure. Neither. It's no excuse for backsliding. Neither. Amen. And the apostles gathered together and told them things that they had done and what they had taught. And he said, come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. Isn't God good? He even gives us time to rest. Amen. Now, preachers may have a nervous breakdown, but it ain't God's fault. It ain't God's fault if you'll take time in God's time to rest. Amen. And there'll be ample time. Amen. You'll have to hardly miss a lick in the service for God. Amen. Now the disciples find it hard to rest because they had the power. They had the blessing. Amen. Boys, if we'll pray through real good one time, fast and pray and seek God one time and just get one good message, Just get one powerful sermon. Do your memory work. Get your P's and Q's in order. And let God anoint you. Amen. Just one good message. And you will hardly be able to keep away from your door. Just fast and pray and seek the face of God and be led to the Lord and heal one sick person. Open one blind eye. Just one. Amen. Heal one withered limb. Just one. Amen. And you'll be able to take care of all the invitations. Praise God. These boys found it hard to rest. Amen. And the people chased them down everywhere they went. And I personally think that the reason they had this big storm on the sea was at least the people couldn't follow them through that storm. Amen. They got to rest a little bit, even if it was in the storm. Amen. The other side of the storm, maybe. Praise God. They finally got to rest. The Lord knows what we need. The Lord, one great preacher, Africa, it slips my mind just which one it was. Amen. I can't remember whether it was Moffat, whether it was Livingston, Stanley. I can't remember. It wasn't either one of them, but anyway, he sent his wife home because the rigors of the mission field in Africa were too hard for her, and he sent her home to rest, which was the right thing to do. And then the gossip machine started in England. They said he and his wife have separated, and offerings began to fall off because of the rumors that he and his wife had separated. And so he wrote to her and told her that she needed to come back to squelch the rumors. And she did. She came back to the mission field, and because of her weakened physical condition, she died. And they said, "Oh, brother," said, "your wife died on the mission field. The mission field and the work of God took her." He said, "No, it didn't either. Gossip killed my wife." Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord tries to let us rest, but sometimes you've got to raise a storm on the sea. Praise God. And they finally get over here in this desert place, and the people find them. I mean, they can't hide anybody that's anointing oil and healing the sick and casting out devils. Praise God. You don't need much advertisement. You don't need a half-page advertisement in the newspaper that says, "Come to the big tent meeting. The lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear." You don't have to do that. Just one service where it really happens. You'll be able to see the crowd next night. The trouble is, we read those half-page ads in the newspaper and venture in out of curiosity, and everything's trumped up. Amen. Everything's worked up. Mass psychology. And the first thing you know, we didn't feel the Lord at all. We were not blessed at all. And we felt strangely that there was something wrong. Amen. If you got the reality, fellas, amen, you can have spontaneous worship. Praise God. Around the country, some of our preachers feel that if they don't have one night a week where they shout all the way through and don't have preaching, they're not keeping up with the status quo. Let me say this in kindness. Voluntary worship is a lie. Let me repeat. Voluntary worship is a lie. The difference in spontaneous worship and voluntary worship is what we do out of the anointing of the Spirit and obeying God's word, and what we do acting like we got the Spirit. And acting like we got the reality. That's the same spirit of the false prophets in the Old Testament. They acted like they had the real prophecy. They acted like they had the real thing. Now there's some things we can do in church, folks, amen, that promote the spontaneous move of the Spirit. We can praise God at the right time. We can praise God when people's praising God. And we can worship when people's worshiping. Amen. We can glorify God when people's glorifying God. Hallelujah. And when the Spirit of God moves spontaneously, we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Praise God. But it's all spontaneous. Nothing put on. Come on. And you can tell the difference. Every one of you know the difference between spontaneous worship and, well, he's just trying. Singing the same song 15 times when it didn't bless the folks the first 3 times. And finally somebody, amen, will dance a little bit for you. Because they like you. They'll dance a little bit for you. But it's a lie. And we're on dangerous ground. Amen. When our worship is a lie. And that's right where much of the charismatic movement is today. When you don't live nothing and you put on the dog, it's a lie. And that's what got King Saul cut off. That was his first strike on the way out. You're up to bat, Saul. Amen. Samuel says, go and wait for me, and I'll offer sacrifice and inquire the Lord for you. And Saul's up to bat. He's waiting. And the pitcher don't show up. The day wears off, and nobody's thrown out the first ball yet. Amen. Sun's sinking low, and Saul says, bring me a calf. Let's sacrifice. Amen. The people's getting away. The morale of the people is low. Amen. And so Saul intruded into the priesthood and started the game on his own and got him a trumped-up pitcher out there. Amen. Fanned out. About the time he struck out, Samuel come walking up and said, what hast thou done? Amen. And Saul said, I forced myself. You all know what voluntary worship is? It's when we force ourselves. If you're living right, you don't have to force yourself. If you're living for God, you can praise God to the drop of the hat. If you're living right, you can glorify God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. And generally, we come to church to hear the Word of God and the revelation from heaven. If the Holy Ghost moves in the service and the preacher don't get to preach, we don't worry about it because we've had a lot of preaching up to that time. But we don't just do it to say that we had a hallelujah breakdown and the Spirit took over and the preacher didn't get to preach. Oh, I know some have decided that Brother Collins did things in service, amen, because he didn't want to preach. No, no, no. I got the preacher's itch, folks. Hallelujah. And the only way to get rid of the preacher's itch is to scratch it by preaching. Amen. Hey, I've always got 2 or 3 laid back. But I always know when they're not supposed to be preached in that service too. I even know it beforehand. Amen. I don't know why. Either God's sending somebody or going to send us a premature altar call, praise God, on the basis of what's already been preached. And when he does it, and it's spontaneous, and we have it a lot around the highway of holiness, praise God, pretty soon the sinner can't hold back no longer, and they break to run and hit the altar and want deliverance. Amen. They begged him to let them touch the hem of his garment. And the disciples, when they went out, they anointed people with oil. Amen. And healed them that way. We still do that. Hallelujah. None of them had a license to practice medicine. But you don't have to have a license to practice medicine to anoint people with oil and pray for the sick. Amen. Nowadays, if you do that in some places on a very large scale, they'll put you in jail for practicing medicine without a license. That's what they did Jack Coe in Miami, Florida. Put him in jail for practicing medicine without a license. Amen. And he said while he was in there, he said there's an old drunk in a cell next to him and says, "Hello, preacher." He said, "I don't think I know you. Don't you remember me?" He said, "You saved me the other night." He said, "You look like somebody I saved." I don't know whether it was true or not. Amen. I've heard various stories, various versions of the same story. Amen. But they put him in jail for practicing medicine without a license. And nowadays, amen, it's again the law in some places to tell people to do things. And then if it don't work, they'll sue you for it. Amen. Some people will. And nowadays, you know, they're sue happy. They'll sue the preacher. Sue people that's trying to bless folks. If they don't, some of the family will. Amen. Sue you in church. What do you do in a day when people sue happy and they're itching to sue somebody and the judges are taking sides against the denomination? That preacher preached against that woman's adultery in Oklahoma. Amen. And the Church of Christ is still paying. They all had to chip in and pay off that woman's suit. All Church of Christ did. I'm not Church of Christ. I think they got a bum rap. Amen. When it comes to where a preacher can't preach against sin, that's a bum rap. They just well fold up and quit anyway. What do you do when the judges are taking sides against the preacher? You preach anyway. What do you do when they throw the preacher in jail for practicing medicine? I'll ask you to lay hands on the sick and let them recover anyway. Amen. And be like old Brother Foster. Praise God. Tell the judge the Lord called me to preach the gospel in the streets and in the jails. And I'll give you the choice where I preach for the next 3 years on the streets or in jail. The judge sentenced him to 3 years in jail, and he raised such a revival in the jailhouse. Amen. In a month or so, they was ready to get rid of him. He said, "If you'll just sign this paper and admit your guilt, we'll let you go. I ain't signing anything." Amen. "Well, if you'll just do so and so and cooperate with us, we'll let you go." Amen. "I didn't ask you to put me in here. I ain't asking you to let me go." Praise God. And pretty soon, they run him off. They've got to get rid of him. He's having such a revival in the jailhouse. Hallelujah. And the people in Gennesaret begged to touch the hem of his garment. I preached on restoration the other day. Amen. And there's some restoration still to be done, even in the Pentecostal church. Amen. I'm like Brother Vince Wilson. My shatter ain't healed nobody yet. Ain't nobody begged me to let them touch the cuff of my trousers. Yet, they'll be whole. Amen. It just hasn't happened yet. But some of these days, all things are going to be restored. Amen. Acts 15 said, he shall restore all things. Some of these days, praise God, we'll be restored. We may think we've got it, amen, cut and hung out to dry, amen, and ain't nobody else got it but us. But we've always got something to leave behind and always a good reason to reach for those that are before and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've been preaching 47 years. I may not have much more than 20 to preach. Amen. In the future. It's just about over, Brother Will. Maybe 20 more years. Amen. Brother Burns said, I've got a cousin down in Hazard named Chester Bowling. I said, he was with me in church every night this week except Wednesday. Amen. He's 93 years old. I had him take prayer requests one night. You meet him, Mike? You met him, didn't you? 93 years old. 93 years old. Hey! That means, Jerry, I've got 30 years if I can make it as far as Chester Bowling made it. Hallelujah. Amen. I may not be running as fast as I am this morning. Amen. He couldn't see where the steps was to get down off the roster. Oh, he said, there's the door, he said. Amen. I may not be able to see as good. I may not be able to run as fast. So I'm going to run while I can. I'm going to praise God while I can. I'm going to glorify God while I can. A chapter in the life of Jesus might tell us, John the Baptist, you just had a little over a year till you got your head cut off. Run, John. Run. Amen. Disciples, amen. You just got a little while. Jesus be coming after you. Run, boys, run. Amen. Stephen, you just got a little while to be a good deacon. And so he healed many sick. Cast out many devils. And while he is distributing welfare checks to the widows, praise God, he's healing the sick and casting out devils and causing the blind to see. He ran while he could. And when they stoned him at St. Stephen's gate, he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. His face shone like an angel. Amen. He went up in a cloud of glory. If we'll be faithful, we can go up too. Stand with me. Let's pray, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Touch our lives, our ministry. Anoint us, Lord. Help us to do what we can with what we've got where we are right now and not to wait till tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 While they sing, make your altar.